Technology has always been a friend of the porn industry. First videotapes, then DVDs, then the internet. Each advance took porn to a new level. Many, in fact, credit pornography as being the first to translate these technologies into profits. Now, for the first time, the shoe is on the other foot. Free amateur porn sites that use the same technology as YouTube directly threaten the pornographic movie business. Let's put it this way. File sharing is to dwindling CD sales, as free internet porn is to rapidly declining sales of pornographic DVDs. Claire Hoffman is a contributing editor for Portfolio magazine and author of a piece in the latest issue called Obscene Losses. She's with us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
And how much is the porn movie business suffering?
Well, in terms of the big porn production companies, the DVD production dropped 11% last year, which is pretty dramatic considering that pornography is considered one of the few industries that's recession-proof.
Mm-hmm. And had been booming in the past. And the competition is really from sites, well, they seem to take a lot of their names derived from the very popular site YouTube, PornTube, and YouPorn.
Right. And it's exactly the same model. They use the same kind of software. It's the same experience when you go on. It's just that the content is sexually explicit.
Mm-hmm. So why is it that people are seemingly logging on to these porno sites as opposed to buying movies from Vivid?
Well, it's sort of obvious, isn't it? I mean, as a nation, we have an incredible appetite for pornography, and we have paid huge amounts over the decades for it, and suddenly there it is online and it's for free. And what's more, what we're seeing on there are these videos that a lot of them are amateur, and there's a huge audience for that, and there's a lot of people who want to see what it looks like to, see their neighbors have sex.
Mm-hmm. And are these sites, they're for-profit sites, are they making money?
Not so much. I mean, that's sort of the Web 2.0 question of it all. They're basically giving it away. So, some of them, like PornoTube, are trying to use an advertising model and, connect and sort of link people in to pay sites. But YouPorn, which is the most popular, I mean, today it's the 35th most popular website in the world, which is impressive. It's totally free, and they're not, they're making practically nothing.
Well, one of the things that they might want to do is sell these sites to, maybe a DVD distributor like Vivid, for example.
Right, and that's sort of what happens in my story. You had the owner of YouPorn go to Vivid and several other sort of established porn production companies that have been around for decades and who've really figured out how to make money from pornography and try and sell it to them with the idea that what they could give them is something that they haven't had, which is this audience of tens of millions on the web coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's one thing to give porn away for free, and it's another thing to come up with a business model that,
commodifies it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so what has been the response? You went and interviewed the heads of, Vivid and some of these other companies that are, their existence is now threatened.
It's threatened to some degree. I mean, certainly porn is still making a lot of money. It's they're not going to disappear overnight. And a lot of these are companies that have been around since the 80s. But what they're doing is sort of scrambling in every direction, just like Hollywood, and looking for ways to change both the content and distribution to bring these audiences back to them. So in terms of distribution, they have their own pay sites on the web where you pay $29.95 a month to, watch all the Vivid videos you want, or you can pay by the minute through VOD, or you can
watch video on demand. Yeah.
Yeah, video on demand, or you can watch pornography on your cell phone now. And then the other thing they're doing is changing the content.
Mm-hmm.
And like Hollywood, what they're doing is making less movies but more expensive movies, just in the way that we all love YouTube, but we also still love Tom Cruise and Jessica Biel. They're thinking, okay, you can get your free porn, but you still love your stars, and you still, there's stuff you want to watch on your TV.
So they're incorporating expensive production values that aren't going to be available in 2 minute and 27 clips.
Exactly, it's sort of a different experience, if you will.
Mm-hmm. They're also trying to expand into different kinds of markets, most notably trying to market to women. And you write a lot about that in your piece.
Yeah, that's sort of an interesting an interesting thing to emerge out of this, and it's also similar to Hollywood, where for so long, you know, the audience was the, you know, teenage boys. But what you're seeing is teenage boys are you know, more than satisfied to go onto YouPorn and spend 3 minutes on there and they're done, you know? And so women logistically probably are not watching internet pornography. And, you know, there's the sense out there with the producers that there are women who are buying porn. I mean, some of these studios are saying, you know, 40% of their internet sales of DVDs are from women, which is, you know, it's a big figure. And so it's women and it's also couples. And but the sort of figuring out what kind of pornography women want to watch is a pretty complicated equation.
We're talking with Claire Hoffman, a contributing editor for Portfolio Magazine, about her article, Obscene Losses, in the current issue. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And in terms of the revenues, as you say, the porn business is a very big and very profitable business. How big and how profitable?
Well, the number that Adult Video News puts out for the entire adult entertainment business, which also includes Beyond Videos, it includes strip clubs and sex toys, it's a big number, but that's $12 billion. And it's, you know, these numbers are fuzzy because they're all private companies and they're self-reporting. So it's hard to know exactly, but it's you know, definitely at least $10 billion.
Huge.
Huge. Very big.
Yes.
we like porn, as it turns out, as a country.
And these websites, as you also say, have yet to figure out a way to make profits. And indeed, you had a hard time figuring out who owned them.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of an interesting question about the web overall, is that we don't really know who we're in business with or who we're buying from. And if you say that, I mean, which I believe is true, that about 100 million people have visited YouPorn to date, if not more, and they have completely cloaked their identities, that there's something about that isn't quite right, at least to me. So I had tried to track down the owner, and I hadn't had much success. Usually in the San Fernando Valley, which is where most porn is produced, everybody knows everybody. But asking around, it was interesting. Nobody really seemed to know who he was. And I got a phone number, and it was a man who called himself Stephen Paul Jones. And he told me that he was 27, he was a surfer, he worked for a private equity company and managed tens of billions of dollars and didn't want to have his identity revealed. He said he was using an alias. But he talked to me for hours about how he was revolutionizing, or the site was revolutionizing, the pornography industry, and that ultimately it was going to go out of business because of these user-generated sites. Because, you know, because we're exhibitionists and because we like to watch ourselves, who needs to pay for porn? And, you know, it was a pretty, like, that's a pretty big idea. Hmm. But then he stopped calling me. So, which is not a good idea. So I ended up sort of looking into his background and finding out that he was actually not 27, that he was in his 40s and sort of an established business person outside of the adult entertainment business, and lived in Lake Tahoe and has 5 children. So I ended up having to drive up there and
Knock on his door.
Yeah. Knock on his door. Yeah.
And remarkably, he didn't invite you into his living room to discuss this in front of his wife and children.
I know. It's so strange.
Yeah. Another difference, though, between this amateur business and, if you will, the professional, the Vivids and the Evil Angels and those other companies you write about, those have been forced over years to keep records to make sure that their participants in these movies are at least 18 years of age. They're also fairly strict operations to ensure that they are disease-free. These are strictures that don't appear to apply to amateurs.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can have this kind of idea of Web 2.0 and porn and user-generated porn sort of freeing everyone, kind of a United Nations experience where we're all watching pornography from all over the world, and that seems very exciting. But on the other hand, these regulations have, you know, done some good and helped keep child pornography from being distributed, and these big porn companies have spent millions of dollars over the last decade to adhere to them. And what they do is, you know, they get several copies of their identification of the performers, and they have to be filed in a certain way, and that filing needs to be a public record, and you can access that at any time.
And, of course, none of that applies to these amateur videos.
Well, that has been the question, and as you probably know, that all sort of changed on Tuesday this week.
Yes, a judge issued a decision saying the regulations requiring this were overbroad and, in fact, seemed to strike it down for the entire pornography business, not just amateurs.
Right. It was in the Sixth Circuit, which is Ohio and Michigan and Kentucky and Tennessee. So it's hard. You know, I made a couple calls this morning, and big porn producers are going to continue to keep records. They don't see this as the end of of record-keeping laws. They see it as, you know, it's open right now, and it's a question. But, you know, what the Sixth Circuit said was there needs to possibly be a distinction between people who are producing pornography for commercial sales and people who, you know, are in their home, you know, taking pictures of themselves. Should those people have to have records? Should those people have their homes open to government inspection? And that this is how it gets into sort of this question of exhibitionism and U-porn. And I mean, the case that came out of Connections, which is a company that publishes magazines for swingers.
Interesting issue, and obviously not over by a long shot. Claire Hoffman, No. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Claire Hoffman, a contributing editor for Portfolio Magazine, who wrote the article Obscene Losses in Portfolio about how the Internet is changing the pornography business. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you on Monday. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.